This is episode 259 of Toon Talk Weekly. This week, Brad and I crash our vehicle with our entire family into a canyon, but it's totally comical and we're okay when we talk about the 2011 series, Crash Canyon.
Normie, the kids and I were talking about you behind your back when you were in the museum.
For the record, I wanted to wait so I could say it to your face.
And so far the trip hasn't been, well, fun.
Mom's being kind, Dad.
Was I? I didn't mean to be. It's been boring, tedious, mind-numbing.
It sucks worse than school, but at least I can skip that.
Okay, maybe it's been a bit slow till now, but wait till we get to the next rest stop. It's got separate parking lots for cars and RVs. But we've got both. So which lot will we pick?
Call the Hardy Boys. We've got a mystery on our hands.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we chat about a different cartoon every single week. I'm Jake Williams. I'm not alone here. Got my good buddy Brad Chmielewski again this week. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Picked a weird one this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Nicest way to introduce that.
I don't know. Like, I was thinking about the show. It just had a cool name, Crash Canyon. And I was like, I got to check this show out.
Okay.
And actually, recently we had gotten an email or something, or a message from a listener asking about the show Forget About It, a show that you notoriously, I think, liked quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I think I've watched almost the entire thing. There might be like a dozen or so I have left on Hulu, but I kind of got burnt out because it's really repetitive.
Oh, for sure. And it was funny because this listener was asking about similar shows to Forget About It. And the first thing that kept coming to my mind was like, you know, Family Guy, American Dad, Border Town. Those are the other three I could think of that are like, they're like the sitcom cartoons that include quick, like, not even witty things, but just like quick jokes, slapstick humor, cutaways to some flashback or something,
slightly racist. Yeah, a little off.
And boy, have I found another one of those in Crash Canyon.
this one takes all of that and just
throws it off a cliff. No, so I did pick it by the name. This was a 2011 series, and I was like trying to figure out. There's this thing, I think we recently, like a few months ago, we had a Kevin James night, right, with a few friends where we all watched like Kevin James movies. Mm. And sometimes you watch movies that feel like they're from a totally different era. Like they were built and the story is structured in a way and presented to you, the audience, in a way that is clearly not modern. And yet the movie came out just a couple of years ago. Like sometimes that happens. That's what this show feels like to me.
Really? When did the show? What? Give me some backstory on it.
Well, so we got 2011. So it's 7 years old, but parts of it just feel...
7 years is a long time in culture, right?
In culture years. Now it is. Yeah, right? Stuff moves like way too fast.
We had iPhone, what, 3G?
Yeah, there were flip phones in this show. We're only on like the second or third iPhone at that point.
That's how we judge our lives now. How many iPhones?
How many iPhones have I gone through? Even if you don't use iPhones, people still use it as iPhones as a measure of time.
Yeah, I judge in how many billions you pay for Instagram and iPhone years. that's only three Instagrams, you know, four iPhones ago.
Yeah. Can you believe this would have cost me six Instagrams 10 iPhones ago? That's amazing. So the series Crash Canyon, it's a Canadian animated series, premiered on Teletoon in Canada, distributed globally by MTV, which I found interesting. Two seasons, 26 episodes, and it launched September 18th, 2011. It was created by Jamie LeClaire, Phil LaFranc, and Kyle McDougall. I guess some interesting little tidbit about how the show kind of like came to be was that Joel Cohen, one of the writers on the series, he's a Canadian who was living in Los Angeles when he was working on The Simpsons.
Okay.
He wanted to create a Canadian series with other expatriates, other people from Canada, so that they could tell these like Canadian jokes that only they would really get, build it into a series.
Are you expatriates or expats if you're from another country? I've only ever heard of expats referred to as Americans, because I didn't know would you be an expat from another country.
Well, you can be patriotic about your country, no matter like where you are, right?
Yeah, but are you? I thought like a pat. Man, all right, now I don't know.
No, the New England Patriots. No, I do believe the term generally or loosely at least means basically you live somewhere that's not your own country.
Okay.
So he also recruited ex-Canadian writers Tim Long, who was also on The Simpsons, and Chuck Tatum of How I Met Your Mother to help write the scripts for the series. So kind of a group of Canadian guys got together and were like, hey, let's write a show about Canada and then make it and then tell Canadian jokes. Because I have to imagine maybe there's some stuff about home that you miss because you're living in Los Angeles. You're not experiencing that stuff.
Okay.
A lot of times they say write what you know, or like build the story or tell the stories that you know, right? That kind of thing. So
I didn't know. Weird. I didn't, watching just one episode, I didn't feel like there was anything Canadian about this show.
I mean, maybe it's because I read this first, but after I heard everyone say sorry, like the Canadian way, I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. Right,
a little bit. So the general premise of Crash Canyon, it is not a show about a demolition derby that happens out in the desert, although that probably also could be a good name for it. Essentially, while driving on vacation, this family known as the Wendells falls into a canyon and must learn to get along with other fellow stranded neighbors, and basically also get along with each other. It was almost like the setup, and that's the bulk of what we'll talk about today is the pilot, because that sort of sets up the show. But what I loved about the pilot was that they took, I don't know, 2-3 minutes to be like, we're going on vacation, and then boom, you're in this canyon. Like, they get right to it. And I thought that was pretty neat. The vacation very much starts off as a, like, Chevy Chase National Lampoon's Vacation. Like, the dad is so excited to take everybody on this vacation. And I think even in the first couple scenes before they crash into this canyon, they sort of start to build out the family a little bit of the Wendells. You have Norm, the dad, who's kind of like, he's pretty nerdy.
He's also an inventor.
He's an inventor, an engineer. He wears socks and sandals as a key trait of his. He also, like, he's so organized that he has, like, one of the very first times you meet him is, hey, everyone, we're getting ready for a vacation. And now I finished the first part of our vacation, which on a clipboard or a whiteboard says, tell everyone about vacation. Like, stuff like that. You have Sheila, who I believe is the mom. From her character, I didn't gather a ton aside from, like, man, she's got a temper.
Yeah, she's got anger issues.
Right. Roxanne, or Roxy as she's known, is the older daughter. If we're comparing this to Family Guy, actually, I think Meg was also older than Chris and Family Guy, so it's similar family age of the genders there. So you have Roxy, who is like the typical teenage girl, right? Loves being on her phone, needs to know what everybody's up to, all the social stuff happening, she needs to be there. You have Jake, who's me. That's it?
That's it?
No, Jake seems like he's up for adventure. He's just like the younger boy who is just like excited to do whatever. He doesn't really care.
He's all about money, man.
And he's all about money. That's true. He does. There's always like he's always offering people like to do things. But yeah, as long as he gets paid. Like,
wants to be rich, or I don't know about all the backstory there, but
yeah. And then you have Vernon, who is like, is he like a second cousin? Like he's like kind of sort of related to them. They mention it in the first scene, but he's basically this giant, overweight, like slob. I don't know how else to describe him. He also is limited to in his movement to a motorized wheelchair, basically.
And the most racist out of everyone on this show.
Is he? Oh yeah, I guess he's like the guy who just has no filter because he doesn't run in or talk to anybody ever, right? That's kind of the what I gathered from it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the main characters to talk about. We'll talk about a couple other characters in Crash Canyon as we sort of get into talking about the episode. But before we get into that, if you guys want to let us know what you think of the show or any other episodes we've done, hit us up, toontalkweekly@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter @toontalkweekly, or head over to toontalkweekly.com, listen to any past episodes. We still love hearing what you guys think about even past episodes, any of the 250 plus before this. It's always fun to relive them because we kind of always weirdly, when you focus one show on one episode of a cartoon, you remember that episode very well because you talked about it longer than the episode was.
Yeah.
So head over there. But now we're going to talk about the pilot of Crash Canyon. We sort of already touched on a little bit. The very beginning of the episode is them getting ready to go on vacation. Of course, not many people want, not the family doesn't really want to go on vacation at all. And nobody knew there was a fifth person coming until, what was it? Norm basically had a fifth, like, happy vacation mug, right? for this second cousin. And before they go off this cliff, the vacation's super boring. Nobody likes it because they're going to, like, the sign museum to see all these cool signs that aren't really that cool. Or, like, the oldest toll booth and some C-list celebrity or politician came here one time. Like, Norm's idea of fun is very different from the rest of his family. Let's put it that way. And then when they end up going off of this cliff because he's not paying attention, I don't quite remember what the scenario was or why they were talking. He just wasn't looking at the road. They travel off of this cliff. And in they land this cliff, and suddenly there's a group of, I think they mentioned 18 to 25 people that are also down there. They're greeted by these people when they get down there. There's no way out of this canyon. That's why these people have sort of started their own civilizations. The people and families down here live in whatever vehicle they happen to crash land in. I guess if you're the Wendells in this case, you have a car and an RV, so you got a little bit of something there. But if we're taking cartoon logic out of everything here, they would have been dead, man.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you go flying off a cliff, you're not surviving.
I mean, it is a gigantic canyon.
Well, they even make the joke, we usually plan a party, and we wait until that person regains consciousness from after crashing into the cliff.
Yeah. It's funny that they're greeted immediately by a couple of characters who I assume we've only seen this episode of the series, but will be prominent characters throughout, right? Mm-hmm. You do have sort of someone who she claims herself to basically be the class president of the canyon. She is in charge of showing people around, of introducing them, of throwing like a welcoming party sort of thing. And she's she seems like she's an older teenager, like younger 20s kind of girl. You do meet, was it the Hispanic lady who was the chef? Like, she owned a restaurant. And she...
Yeah.
She comes over to, like, offer him food at some point. There's, like, one of the other characters was, like, there was a, he was an artist, like, a musician, a punk rock singer that apparently the wife knew, which seemed way out of character.
His song was Punch a Rainbow, or... Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the like goofiest, most angsty thing you could probably come up with is Punch a Rainbow, and that's what he's saying about.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of interesting characters down here, but by far and away, my favorite scenario, I gotta say, this show for me did not have a ton of like huge laughs or anything, but what I thought was incredibly smart was that they mentioned, yeah, we all live down here, well, except for this family called the Manderbelts. They're above us. And they immediately show this mansion that's up on like a crag. It's up a little bit higher than everybody else's houses that has also fallen into this canyon. And the situation is that they were moving this house to a different plot of land. And I thought that is genius. Like, of course, the rich people somehow had the fortune to have their mansion mostly intact, land higher than everybody else in this
right,
canyon.
Right, yeah. Okay.
That was awesome. I thought that was a fun plot point. And you actually meet them. Because of this cat, Brad.
Yeah, for some reason, their license plate, this family, it fell off or came off and cut off two of the cat's legs?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? I was confused. They're like, look what you did to our cat, and it had peg legs. I was like, oh, did you put the peg legs on there, or did this happen? But I guess, yeah, they basically cut the legs off that cat.
Should also mention it was peg legs on just the right side. It wasn't like the back or the front that you could manage. was pretty awkward.
Yeah.
But also, I don't remember in the crash seeing that actually happen. Maybe there was like a cat noise or something that happened. So it was news to me as well. I kind of felt the same way that you did.
You're the new ones. You did this. That's not how a cat is supposed to work. You broke her legs with this.
Our license plate. It must have come off when we fell in. Oh, we're sorry. But it's an event beyond our control, like Pluto losing its status as a planet, or maybe even...
Save it! Princess can't walk on excuses.
It was like just a weird plot point, which I guess the whole show is just a bunch of just... I feel like we were saying earlier, like, oh, get your friends to write some stuff. And like, hey, write a scene for me. Like, it doesn't have to go with this. We'll just put it in because we can. And it doesn't have to make any sense.
Well, and dude, when you do that, like, let's call it the Family Guy style of like, we're going to say something and then cut away to it anyway. There was a moment where Norm said at one point, like, oh, this is not the first time gravity is like disobeyed me. And they cut away to him eating ice cream. And so ice cream falls on his shirt and he blames gravity. And then the ice cream sign crushes him and then his spleen hurts. Like, it's just these random side cutaways that can totally happen. So, yeah, you're right. Like, you could just easily frame it and then say, I don't know, put whatever joke you want in there.
That's right.
And we obviously didn't write this, so we don't know if that's the case. We just, I don't know, could have been a scenario. So most of this first episode is dedicated to a couple of stories here. One is the cat that Brad mentioned, and that the family's license plate has cut these two legs off of this cat, apparently. So now he has peg legs. They do go up to visit the family, the rich family, the Mandelbelts, up on top of their house.
But they only went to apologize, right, for hurting their cat or something?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Oh, it's because the main plot of the story is that Norm thinks he has a way to get out of this canyon, but basically he needs a certain amount of solar energy, so he has to wait until noon, so they have time to kill, so they decide to go apologize to the family.
Okay, all right.
Right, a little strange. But when they go to apologize, it's basically this rich family, and the mothers are they're both very angry at each other. The father seems pretty agreeable and quiet, but man, does he act super weird about, like, I have this daughter who's ugly, but she looks totally fine, but keeps her in a closet, which just feels inappropriate and unwelcome. I don't know. It made me feel strange.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like, here's this girl... We're going to say she's ugly and we're trapped in this canyon, but we're just going to lock her in the closet. Like, what? Like, okay, all right, weird. Like, it wasn't funny. Like, I don't know what was supposed to be funny about that, that she was not ugly and you keep her in a closet. Maybe, like, in a different situation, but that you're trapped basically on a desert island. It's kind of weird.
Like, it just feels like a joke that's old. That's maybe in 2011 it was still kind of in the humor consciousness and it was fine. It just fell flat for me. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But in the midst of apologizing, going up to this house, the mother at one point goes to the bathroom. And while she's in there, Norm mentions, I can fix your cat. I'm an engineer. And I don't know where he got this, but he essentially gave this cat
two wheels.
But like, if I were to describe these wheels to you, they're the sort of wheels you would put on the bottom of a cart you would have in, like, an office.
But they were also inflatable because later in the episode they pop. So somehow they were, like, tiny bicycle tube wheels.
Yeah. And he just had these things.
That's why this show, for me, doesn't work, because they have everything that they could possibly need at their disposal in this this cavern, but yet no way to build a ladder to climb up the side.
I mean, it's got to be a big ladder, man. It's not Fortnite. You can't just build ramps up, you know, kind of climb your way out. But the main plot of the episode was essentially Norm devising this this solar powered basically kite, and I think also the drill that was part of it was also solar powered, so that's why I had to wait for the energy. But while the family leaves, the daughter, Roxy, is so concerned that she's going to miss this pool party. She's like, I'm not going to wait for my family. I'll just leave a note, whatever. The way this kite works is interesting. You throw it and it's got a huge rope attached to it that you'll climb up, but it basically bumps into the canyon, and then the drill drills into the wall to hold you so you can get up to this like ledge, and then you do it again, get up another ledge, yada yada. She does it the first time and then realizes she actually has a little bit of cell signal. And the entire time she's standing on this rock ledge, she's getting text message and update and texting her friends, doing all these things, wondering what's going on, what boy likes her, all that sort of thing. While it's vibrating, it's slowly eating away at this thing. And I got to say, man, this is up there with the plots of it happened also in like the new Avengers film. Like, why are there so many things in like popular media where it's like the perfect plan? It's totally going to work. And someone is too stupid to like put their whatever vice aside, or like passion or thing they care about aside, to just finish the job of like escaping or doing what, or saving the world or whatever.
I don't know. I think maybe I haven't seen this Avengers, but in that kind of context, you need to think of them as human. See, there's that, but
yeah,
it was just a way to like, it almost was a plot point to get rid of the phone at the end of the day.
But then I think she gets it back. So it's like,
no, it like falls and basically gets drilled through. But
oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. She lost it in the tree. Then yeah, it falls and gets drilled through. So eventually this thing entirely comes crumbling down the platform she was standing on because it was all vibrating. The kite, as far as I know, is damaged and not going to work. Right. So essentially they failed to get out of this canyon and they're going to be here for a while. In fact, it seems 2 seasons worth, basically.
There's 2 seasons of this show?
There are 2 seasons of this show, yeah.
Oh, God. Don't. Do not watch them.
So the thing about the show, and it's kind of like Gilligan's Island, right? Where the central plot could always be, how do we get out of this canyon?
Yeah.
Apparently that's not always the central plot. I think it probably does the Family Guy thing where it's like, it's a thread throughout the series, but it's not necessary that they focus on it every single time.
Okay.
But I have to imagine there's got to be a lot of like engineering escape plan sort of things to get out of the show. But what were your thoughts on the show generally, bro?
And it did not hit any marks for me. I was basically kind of offended by this whole show. I was like, it didn't, like I said, didn't hit the marks. I was, all the jokes, basically whenever they referred to someone else, it was pretty racist. As far as like bad drivers, people giving bad service, making tacos. Like, it was like, holy crap, do you offend everyone in this show? Is that kind of the point of it, to offend everyone? Because it's not really that funny.
Yeah, you know what? Now I'm remembering that I do believe there was, you mentioned the uncle was like one of the most racist, like careless kind of people like that. He did make that comment that was like, you're driving like this typical racial stereotype, and you know the one I'm talking about. Like, he doesn't say it, but then he like makes you think. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Now am I racist now for thinking someone, and am I thinking the same thing other people? And it's like, where's this racist joke at? Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was just like, what?
Yeah. There's something about the situation that they're in this show that I find interesting. And I think maybe takes this sitcom thing where they're always in a house and kind of flips it on its head. And it's like, oh, here you go. I love that they have no use for legal tender down there. So they've devised the way that like golf tees, a truck full of golf tees crash down there. And so that's what currency is. I think that's kind of neat.
But we just watched the show that does, it's the exact same plot, the Billy Dilly, where they're trapped in the center of the earth.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out a way to basically rebuild their car or whatever, the cheese grater thing, to like get back up to the center of Earth. It's like,
yeah,
oh my God, like how, like this plot, this just story is played out. Like, we're on an abandoned island. We're stuck in this cavern. We're in the middle of the Earth on a abandoned planet. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't watch you guys for like multiple seasons just bumble your way through like trying to figure this out.
And I gotta say, just there was something about the show, you know, humor and writing and whatever aside, there was something just empty feeling about the show. And I don't know if that's because maybe it's not fair to compare this to Family Guy, but Family Guy has developed a formula that has been copied many, many times. This is also not me saying I absolutely love Family Guy, because that show can be super offensive sometimes too. But what I will say is that they've come up with this formula that keeps things moving and keeps you engaged with what's happening, whether it's music or little stingers or the transitions or whatever. And this just felt empty a lot. And it was just like, okay, next thing, family. And I don't know what that is. The show, you know, the show looks fine. It looks like a show from that time. But generally, like, I just felt like it's a thing. It seemed like a fine show. Not a show I'm going to go out of my way to recommend to anybody. So to the listener that said, hey, are there any other shows kind of like Forget About It? You just rewatch Forget About It again. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that's a better where that show is offensive. It does a job of like offending or making fun of, I think, Canada as a whole, like the general, like the niceness of Canada, and then making fun of like the ridiculousness of the mob people, like the mob, like themselves. Like, that's where some of these shows that are like trying to be offensive, it's way easier to be like, if you're trying to offend yourself, like, oh, this is my stereotype, I believe this, versus like, hey, this is what everyone else is thinking, that this guy, right? He doesn't know this because he's this.
And look, to be honest, you guys realize too, we said at the top of the show, we've only watched one episode. So maybe this one just rubbed us the wrong way. Maybe the humor wasn't quite there. Maybe it's toned down throughout the series. Maybe it gets better.
I feel like it probably gets worse. Like,
I will say though,
people trapped in a cave, like, you are only going to get meaner to each other.
Possibly, yeah. I will say though, I think that I gotta stop picking pilots, man, because as much as it's great that they set up the series, sometimes you just don't get a good flavor. Like,
true,
a pilot is not always necessarily the best first impression of something. They haven't had time to like develop and like get a flow for things, so.
But in this case, we would have no idea. We would have watched episode 20 and been like, why are they in this cavern? Like, why don't they just like climb out or walk out?
It's in the title card. It shows them flying off a cliff.
That's
but I know what you mean. It's not important how they got down there, I guess. No, it's just that they are. But yeah, I know what you mean. The context is nice. I will say that. So let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @BeRad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Guys, check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And as mentioned earlier in the show, we're all over the place as Toon Talk Weekly. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram, all at Toon Talk Weekly. Of course, you can email us, toontalkweekly@gmail.com. And toontalkweekly.com is the main hub for the show. Let us know what you think of any episode, past or present, or future. If you can predict what we're going to watch next, then you can send us an email about it. But that's going to do it for this week's episode all about Crash Canyon. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter @toontalkweekly.